bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today we conclude our study on the revelation of God's wrath based on Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, by focusing on the idea of God giving us over to a debased mind. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Paul's letter to the Romans, and there we'll be reading from the first chapter, verses 18 through 32, with the focus of our study for today coming from verses 28 through 32. Today we come to the third and the final part of our study on the revelation of God's wrath. Our study has focused upon three significant statements that give us insight into the nature of this wrath, which is a present reality. And the essence of that statement is God gave them up, or God gave them over. And this is found in verses 24, 26, and 28. In verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness, or to sexual immorality. In verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions, and the context indicates that that is homosexuality. And then in verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind. And that's going to be the focus of our study for today. So with that in mind, read with me as we begin with verse 18. By inspiration, we have recorded these words. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, the wrath of God, once again, has to do with God's response to sin. God must respond to sin. He must judge sin. And that response or that judgment is an expression of His wrath. As we've indicated from the very beginning of this study, there is an aspect of God's wrath that is yet future. In fact, most of the time, whenever we think about the wrath of God, this is what we have in mind: His future judgment against sin. But the reality is that there is an expression of God's anger or wrath that is directed towards sin that is present in nature. Sometimes this is referred to as God's wrath of abandonment, where He gives over a society or a culture to their sins, not only the natural recourse of those sins, but also as God directs that, and His anger and the consequences of those sins are bound up together. So God is expressing His anger, His wrath, because of the consequence of the actions of society. Now, this wrath is initially directed at the fact that a society or culture has rejected God. It does not want God to be a part of their thinking, a part of their moral basis, or perhaps an expression that we often use today, a part of their moral compass. They just simply do not want God. And so whenever there is a rejection of God, then by necessity what comes into play is idolatry. And idolatry has numerous consequences. And one of the most significant here, in light of context, is the expression of God's wrath. So because of this, God gives them over to a debased mind. Now, in our study today that centers on verses 28 through 32, we're going to look at four features that are part of this giving over by God to a debased mind. First of all, there is the reason that God gave them over to a debased mind, and this is found in verse 28. Secondly, there is the objective of God in giving them over to a debased mind. This is also found in verse 28. Third, there's the consequences of God giving them over to a debased mind, and this is seen in verses 29 through 31. And then finally, there is the result of God giving them over to a debased mind, and this is seen in verse 32. So we begin our study with our first major point, and that is the reason why God gave them over to a debased mind. Let's go back and look at verse 28 once again. Here Paul says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." Now, in the past, we've mentioned that this idea of God giving them over comes from a term that was used in relationship to an individual that was under sentence. That is, they had gone through court proceedings and they were found guilty, and so they were handed over or given over to begin to serve their sentence, the consequence of their actions. And so here, God gives society or a culture over to a debased mind. Now, why is that? Again, he says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Or to say it another way, They did not think it was worthwhile to have God, to have His laws, His Word, as a part of their thinking, or a term that used to be popular years ago. They did not want God to be a part of their world view. They, in essence, wanted a world without God, or a world that perhaps might even be governed by a God, but a God that reflected their desires, their perspective of things. They didn't want to conform to the standards of God. They want a God that conforms to them and what they want. And both of these are very applicable for our own society today. There are many who just simply want no part of God. They do not want God anywhere. But if there is any semblance of, quote, God, then this God must conform to their worldview, their perspective of things, their ideologies. And there are many who are doing exactly that within the context of, quote, the church. So the reason that God has given them over to a debased mind is because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, in their thinking. Now, one of the things about the revelation of God, Scripture, special revelation, is that for us, that is the source of all truth. God has revealed truth. He has revealed aspects of His mind and purpose for us. Now, that doesn't include everything, but everything that He has seen fit for us to have and to receive, and that it is sufficient. Now, that's one of the great doctrines of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture. God may not have revealed everything that we would have liked for Him to have revealed, but He has given to us everything that is needed. And so it is our responsibility to seek God's truth, and as a result, to be governed by that truth. That is, to bring every aspect of our life into conformity with that moral standard. Because God is the only one who is in a position to be able to provide truth, because He's God. As creatures, we are dependent upon Him. As fallen creatures, we are especially dependent upon Him, because, as I have pointed out numerous times, it's not only the fact that God does not lie, but it's that He cannot lie. If God could lie, then He would not be God, or at least the God of the Scripture, because that would reveal a significant moral defect within His character. So they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so as a result, God gives them over. And what does He give them over to here? It's referred to as a debased mind. Some translations refer to it as a depraved mind. Now, this is an interesting term because it comes from a word which basically means not passing the test. And it was a term that was used for inspection of metals. That is, whenever these metals were mined, if they were too full of impurity, basically worthless, they were useless, and so they were rejected. These things contained too many impurities or contaminants. And so used here, our minds, as fallen creatures and being given over, are worthless. It's useless when it comes to our being a governing factor, a moral compass of what is right and what is wrong. And we are seeing this unfolding so clearly before us today, where our world today will call evil good and good evil, which is to some extent a prophetic word from God Himself. There is a rejection of when God says something is good. People today say, no, that's wrong. And when God says something is evil, that it is sinful, we have those in our society, our culture, who are saying, no, this is actually a good thing. So it stands in absolute contradiction to what God has said. And so God gives a society over to this. Because when people lose the rationale of being able to think clearly, then society as a whole will suffer. I mean, think about this for a moment. We have so-called authorities, politicians, scientists, medical individuals who cannot tell the difference between males and females. This whole rise of transgenderism, and it's not limited to just two, male or female, but there are some who say there are thousands of possible genders. I mean, from one perspective, that is just absolute insanity, but yet it is parading around as a moral compass of being able to determine what is right. But God says, no, this is a debased mind, it is a depraved mind, and it is worthless, it is useless when it comes to showing what is right and what is wrong. There's only one standard for that, and that is the standard of God's Word. And there are many other examples that we could give about how foolish man's thinking has become today. All you have to do is to watch any amount of news, or if you visit certain news sites from a Christian or a conservative perspective, you see what's going on in our politics, in our schools, our educational system, all the way down to our homes. The government invading the privacy of our homes because of these types of things. So the reason why God gave them over to a debased mind is because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. When you reject the knowledge of God, there are consequences. Now, secondly, there is the objective of God giving them over to a debased mind. And this is also seen in verse 28. It is the phrase, to do those things which are not fitting. It's those things which are inappropriate, things which are sinful, things which are wrong. Again, it's like God saying, you don't want to think my thoughts. You don't want my word, my truth to be the governing factor of your life. Okay, we'll reject that. And let's see how far, how debased, how ridiculous your thinking will devolve into. And again, this is happening right before us. The things that are coming out of so-called respectable people who are professionals, who are supposedly educated, and the things that they are coming up with. It's not just in rebellion against God's word and standards. It is absolutely crazy. So God says, okay, I'm giving you over to this debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Again, and underscore this, a rejection of the knowledge of God has consequences. And it will reach from the very top all the way down into our own lives as common citizens. Now, thirdly, there is the consequence of giving them over to a debased mind. And this is seen in verses 29 through 31. Now, this is an absolute travesty when you look at this list. This is one of the most notable list of sins in Scripture, and there are others. And these lists are not designed to be exhaustive. There are other things found in other passages of Scripture that could just as easily go here. But quite often, writers will give a fairly expansive list to show just how far-reaching the consequences or the nature of something really is. And so when you look at these sins here that are listed, you see how far-reaching this thing of God giving them over to a debased mind runs as it begins to run its course. For example, in verse 29, it states, being filled with all unrighteousness, that is, unrighteousness of every kind, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now that's interesting. I mean, you look at what's going on in our society. People that are thinking up new ways of being perverse, new ways of committing evil things, disobedient to parents. So this is very timely as we continue to witness the breakdown of the home. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. I'll tell you, those unstatements are very haunting and very sad. And yet we are marked by a society that can't seem to tell the difference between what is right and what is wrong. We're living in a society where you can't trust anyone, it seems like, anymore. People are unloving, they are unforgiving, and they show no mercy. This is the coldness, this is the hostility that dominates our culture. You see this politically, you see this as the political ideology is seen on our college campuses. It used to be that we might not necessarily agree with each other, but we believe that each other had the right to be able to think and say certain things. Well, that's no longer the case. Today is that if you don't agree with me, I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to cancel you. By the sheer fact that I have a certain viewpoint, a certain opinion, that means that you must be wrong, and we cannot tolerate you sharing any type of message that goes against what we are about. And so this whole thing is affecting us politically, socially, economically, and even religiously. And by that, I mean within the guise of Christianity. Christianity, the church, is facing these divisive issues. You're seeing churches and denominations and Christianity as a whole being divided, all because of this. Now finally, there is the result of God giving them over to a debased mind. And this is seen in verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God. This is, God has revealed this. This is seen in nature. This is something that God gives. It's an element of his law that he writes in our hearts. There is a basic understanding of right and wrong that all societies and cultures have. Every culture, regardless of how big or how small, has fundamental understandings of what is right and what is wrong. But going to what we have said in the past, it is the suppression of this knowledge, the suppression of the truth of God that marks this fall that we're seeing in our culture today. But these individuals, they know the righteous judgment of God. And they know that those who practice such things, that is, those who do these things, are worthy of death. They're worthy of God's judgment. But again, this is suppressed. Now the result is that these people, this society, culture, not only do the same things, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, culture at large not only commits these same sins, these sins become encompassing in a culture. But the crucial thing here is that it is society as a whole, and sometimes this is manifested through government or through popular culture, through various forms of media, but there is given the stamp of approval of these types of things. And again, this is exactly what is going on in our culture today. What the Word of God calls sin, our society, our culture, our government officials are giving their sanction, their approval of these sinful actions, that it is okay. In essence, we got your back. you go ahead and do this. Because we're doing it too, but we're going to give you the protection. We're going to give you the cover of society's approval. So this is what we're seeing. This is what we are experiencing as God reveals his wrath because as a nation, as a society, we have rejected him. We don't want him in our thinking. We don't want a God, or we want a God that approves of what we're doing. This is what the idols of ancient civilizations were all about. Idolatry was reflective of the depravity of the people. But the God of Scripture is not like that. It is the complete opposite. God reveals, he manifests holiness and truth and righteousness, moral purity and integrity, everything that is good. And so by necessity, he condemns everything that is evil and sinful. But when we reject God and want what is evil and sinful, God reveals his wrath now by giving us over to sexual immorality, to homosexuality, and to a useless and worthless mind. And this is where we are today. We as the church must continue to pray for God's mercy and to pray for his strength and his grace, that we will remain faithful to our task, to our mission as the church. And that is to hold up the truth and to proclaim Jesus Christ as God's only provision of salvation. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.